We have been talking about My Good Shepherd, and recently we started talking about in our previous, one of our most recent service where I ministered, started talking about divine provision being one of the ministries, one of the things that our Good Shepherd provides for us as his sheep. Amen. All right, so in Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, this is a Psalm of David. It's a personal Psalm. It's a personal testimony. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Amen. I don't know how you relate with the Psalms, but the Psalms are actually writings of this hand-picked and chosen vessels of the Lord. And a lot of the Psalms represent songs. A lot of them represent prayers. But I just want to mention to you, like the Lord helped me see a couple of minutes ago, the Psalms are testimonies. I know it's very rare for us to think about them like that. But they are testimonies. They are testimonies of people who have walked with the Lord and who have experienced God, different dimensions of their experience with God. And some of these people have written, they have written these Psalms as testimonies to share their story with the world. Like I said, Psalms are songs, they are prayers, there are other things, but one of the biggest things that Psalms are their writings of testimonies. This is a testimony of David. It's not just a song, it's not just a prayer. It's a testimony of David. He's declaring with a sense of assurance what the Lord, the Good Shepherd, has been to him in his life. And he's writing with a sense of purpose to share with whoever will read these writings generations after him, so that they know this same Good Shepherd that he encountered and that he experienced can still do the same things that he did in his life. Amen. These are not just once in a lifetime, once in and in eternity, once in a generation kind of testimonies. These are testimonies that various people have experienced time and time and time and time again. And we are not excluded from these testimonies. This Good Shepherd is still here with us. He's still our Good Shepherd. And amongst many of the things that he does for his sheep, one of the most significant ones is he makes provision. He is responsible for provision for his sheep. He is my Good Shepherd, and he's responsible for my provision. I want you to keep in mind that God's plan for his people is never an emergency plan. God's plan is rooted in destiny. That's why in a previous set of messages, when we talked about his preservation plan, I mean, long before we arrive at any juncture in our lives, God's already prepared something. He's prepared a way for us to do well, for us to thrive in those areas and in those seasons of our lives. And so provision is one of the things that the Lord guarantees. Now, David said here in verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And I know that there's quite a number of different translations that I read to you the last time. I just want to read a couple of them again. The basic Bible English says, he makes a resting place for me in the green fields. He is my guide by the quiet waters. The CEV says, you let me rest in fields of green grass. You lead me to streams of peaceful water. The ESV says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I'm going to go Amplify says, he makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. I really love the Message and the NLT, which I think we have here. The Message says, you have bedded me down in lush meadows. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. I just want to say, God's prosperity plan, God's plan for any area of our lives, is never an emergency plan. It's never an emergency plan. Long before you get to every season, God already made preparation for how you would thrive through those seasons. Somebody say, amen. The NLT says, he lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. I mean, in all the land, in all the deserts, in all the wildernesses, there are so many areas of parched land, parched grass, and insufficiently grown, insufficiently developed pastures and things like that. And the shepherd never takes his sheep through those areas. He always takes his sheep through areas where he can cause them to lie down in green pastures. Amen. He knows he is the way through the wilderness. He knows how to get to the green pastures. Now, because his plan for us is never an emergency plan, it is very, very important that we cultivate a strong relationship with this God. Pretty much, I mean, everything that I'm going to talk about when I get to talking about the covenant of provision, you will see how it always tracks back to relationship. A lot of people's idea of provision has to do with, when they have a need, they call. You know, they remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that's great. It's good to remember scriptures when we need them. But I just want to remind us as we move forward in this journey, because I want to take my time, just like I did under the preservation message. I don't plan to rush through it, and I don't plan to yell at you. I really just want to talk to you and share with you some of the most cogent things about the areas of God's covenant provision for his people. So keep in mind that a lot of people, when they get to areas of need in their lives, then they quote all these scriptures. And all these scriptures are very good. They are fine. There's nothing wrong with quoting them. But I just want you to know that they are always in context. They are always in conflict. If you read the context of every one of these scriptures in the Bible, you see that there's always a context for them. They're just never in isolation. And I think many times, this is one of the reasons why a lot of people feel like the Word of God does not produce for them, right? Because a lot of times, they actually just jump on the Word. Many believers have an emergency relationship with God. Many believers have an emergency relationship with God, but no covenant works that way. You can't just call a bank and say, I hear you have a lot of money in your treasury, and I'm really desperate right now. I need $200. I just need $200 right now. They ask you, do you have an account here? No. So why are you calling us? Well, I hear you have a lot of money in your treasury. So I just, right now, I'm desperate. If I don't get $200, myself, my children, my spouse, we could be homeless in a few hours. We just desperately need $200. Please, please. And they say, you don't have an account here? No, we don't have an account. Would you like to open an account? No, I don't have any money to open an account. I just need $200. Well, most likely, the person talking to you, they are respectful. They'll say, ma'am or sir or something. And they'll say, sorry, we can't help you. And they'll drop. If they're not very respectful, they won't even tell you anything. They'll just drop that phone. Because a relationship is essential. Now, you may not have $200 in that bank when you desperately need $200. But you may actually have cultivated a relationship with that bank in such a way that you can draw $200 out of that bank even when you don't have it there. And the reason you can do that is because you already have a relationship with that bank. You can't just go to any bank and try to draw $200 because you are desperately in need. Now, unfortunately, a lot of believers have this emergency plan. This is their emergency relationship that we have with the Lord. And unfortunately, we never can really enter into God's best. We can't experience God's best that way. Remember that what we're talking about is God's covenant of provision. God's covenant of provision is not limited in any way. And I want you to broaden your mind. There's probably not much that I'm saying to you that you probably haven't heard from somewhere or the other. But approach it like you've never heard it before. And then allow the Holy Spirit to work in your heart and speak to you and give you direction and clarity. Amen. So now, as we go further in these studies, first I want you to look at three very important scriptures with me. And these three scriptures are actually scriptures. This first one is one of the ones that the Lord dealt with me really strongly about at the very beginning of the year 2020. This particular scripture was so strong in my spirit that when the Lord helped me write the first book I wrote this year in 2020, I actually put that scripture in this book, and I gave like a few paragraphs to explain that scripture, to talk about it, to shed some light on that scripture. And that scripture has a lot to do with divine provision. It has a lot to do with divine provision as you walk on your journey. So part of my desire, really, as I'm going to get into this, probably give it like two or three services. I'm not sure. I'll see how the Lord leads us. Is that I would like to just pardon me. Don't feel like I'm telling you something you already know, so you don't need it. Who knows? Maybe just being reminded about it can make a major difference in your experience. So I said the last time that there are three aspects to the good
the Good Shepherd's provision and prosperity plan. And so what I've done is I've broken up this set of ministry, this set of teachings, under these three different aspects, these three different subtopics. And the first one, like I told you the last time, is what I called the covenant of provision. The covenant of provision. I want us to just delve into it. Just look into that covenant and learn a few things about it. Be reminded about a few things so that we have a strong basis for that relationship that I talked about earlier. Remember, our covenant depicts our relationship with God. Our covenant depicts our relationship with God. The shepherd is a shepherd over the sheep. But the reason that shepherd has such an effective relationship with the sheep is because he has a long-term relationship with that sheep. The shepherd doesn't just jump on the sheep at times and says, I want you to do this. And the sheep says, I mean, there's no bearing. No, the shepherd is committed to a long-term relationship. And because of that long-term relationship, there is a lot of give and take. There's a lot of give and take that comes with that covenant. There's a lot of trust. There's a lot of strength, integrity in that relationship. There's a lot of confidence. There's a lot of faith. And so when we talk about the covenant of provision, I want you to keep in mind that one of the most important things about that covenant is that the provider who most of us have probably heard the name Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Yireh, some people pronounce it. And originally, earlier on in the Bible, he was actually described as El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Now, I want you to keep in mind that this El Shaddai, this divine God, has a relationship, a dependable relationship with his sheep. This dependable relationship causes this shepherd to be available to that sheep almost completely. Completely, entirely, totally available to the sheep. And so whenever the sheep lifts up his voice, that shepherd hears. Now, in that same way, the shepherd expects certain things from the sheep. A covenant is a two-way stream. You know, the Lord opened my eyes to see this recently. I know that a lot of times when we talk about Christians giving and we talk about offerings and things like that, you know, we major so much on the tithe. And even in our services here, you think about it, I mean, we hardly ever receive our offering without talking about the tithe. The tithe is, we always describe it and define it as a tenth of what we receive, a tenth of what we earn, a tenth of our income. And I remember a dear brother sometime last year, we were having a conversation and he was going on and on with me over, you know, he just doesn't believe, he thinks that the tithe is an Old Testament concept. You know, the tithe is an Old Testament concept. You know, why should we in the New Testament be required to obey something in the Old Testament? And I said, no, actually, we're not required. We're not required. It's not a law. There is nothing in the New Testament that is a law that is carried over from the Old Testament. The Bible says, Jesus taught them during his ministry, says, all the entire law, all the laws, the Ten Commandments and every other instruction the Lord gave them from the Old Testament can be summarized into two in the New Testament. It says, you will love the Lord your God, right, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And then number two, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. So, and if you read in the New Testament, different parts of the New Testament, what you are going to find is the entire, all the, every instruction that the Lord gave them in the Old Testament is actually all wrapped up in the commandment of love. And so I said to this brother, I said, no, we're not required. We're not, it's not mandated that we tithe. I mean, you can live as a Christian and go to heaven without tithing. There's no law that says if you don't tithe as a child of God, you are going to, when you pass on, you are going to go to heaven. There is no such law. I've not seen it. If you find it, please show me after the service. I've read a lot, but I've not read that one where it says, you know, accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. And once you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, the second thing is you must tithe. If you don't tithe, you are going to hell. I've just never seen it. Just never have seen it. However, the Lord showed me this. This was such a blessing to my heart. The Lord said, you know, in our relationship, I don't have minimum due payments for you. I don't have, if you owe somebody like on your gas bill, your light bill, or a credit card or something, you get this thing that says minimum payment due. The reason the Lord gave them that law in the Old Testament, minimum due, which really is the tithe in the Old Testament, minimum payment due, is that he, in the Old Testament, they needed to be mandated and they needed to be required to fulfill those laws, just like every other law that was given them. They couldn't, like in the New Testament, the Bible says now the laws of God are written in our heart. He said in the Hebrews, he says, a new covenant will I make with my people. Say, they will no longer require somebody to teach them. He says, because I will write my laws on their heart. I will write it. It will be very clear in their heart. And the Lord helped me see, and I told this dear brother, I said, you know, your tithe is just minimum payment due. But God doesn't want to relate with us on the basis of minimum payment due. God wants this to be a law we observe in our heart, in our spirit. He doesn't want us coerced into doing things. That's why, rather than focus on the tithe, in my experience, my teaching on the covenant of provision, I really actually more focus on the principle of generosity. If you look in the Word of God, take for instance Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It says, give. And then what would happen? It shall be given unto you. He didn't even say tithe. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. And running over. Shall men give into your bosom. Shall men give into your bosom? So, the Lord took out the law of 10% and said, you give what you consider is good measure, based on what you have. Whatever you consider is good measure. Now, also, because of our understanding of the differences between the covenants, the old covenant, the Bible says in the Hebrews, the new, it says, Jesus is the mediator, that's Hebrews chapter 8, I believe. It says he's the mediator of the new and a better covenant that was based and predicated on more excellent promises. More excellent promises. And so you think about it. Now, if I don't have my wallet here, but I wish I'd remembered, I wanted to show you an illustration here. If you have a $20 bill and you have a $100 bill, that $100 bill already has the $20 bill in it, but it has more. So the $100 bill is the $20 bill plus. So you will not be wrong to say the new covenant, which the Bible says Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant, that's based on more excellent promises. This new covenant is the old covenant plus. So that's why we're able to claim a lot of the promises of the Old Testament without feeling like, but we're not Hebrews. We're not born Jews, right? We're not born in Israel, right? So all these covenant promises, like in this period now, you've heard a lot of people quote Psalm 91. They, he that dwelleth in many other promises, which is, those are our rightful inheritance. But why is that? Why is that? The reason for that is because the new covenant is the old covenant plus. The new covenant is the old covenant plus. Amen. So God, so let me bring you back. I just needed to give you some foundation there. So God isn't relating with us on the basis of this minimum payment due that he mandated for the people of Israel, because they had to be mandated to do everything. The laws of God were not written on their heart. That's different from you and I. The laws of God are written on our heart. You know, if you are doing something wrong, you already know. It's not when somebody talks about it that you then found out that you were doing it. No, you already knew. It's just that when somebody now talks about it, it now brings a different level of conviction to you where you feel like, why? God, it's true. But you already knew. Yeah. Your conscience, the Bible says the laws of God are written in our conscience. No. There's none of us that does something wrong that we only found out when somebody talked about it. No. We always knew it was wrong. We always knew. And the Lord is so gracious. So a lot of times, maybe if you are caught in a struggle somewhere in there, you know, but you are caught in a struggle, the Lord may send someone to kind of nudge you. It's just a part of his covenant with us. Just, it's part of his covering over us, his direction, his guidance. So then that way now, where you are struggling, now you have a sure nudge. So now you know if you argue with it or you struggle with it, you are willfully deciding to do something wrong. But you always knew it was wrong. So the laws of God are written in our hearts. There's a very important reason why I'm telling you this. A lot of times, believers who... please put up for me these two scriptures, if you can. Put up for me Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8. It might be best in the NLT. I hope I have the right one. I didn't check it before this service, but... because I was going to use it in a later service, but I want to use it now. I think that's the scripture where, if it's not it, then just find that out. Someone find it for me. The liberal soul or the generous person devises generous things or liberal things. And by their liberality or generosity, they are established. The liberal soul devises liberal. You have to think about this. When I get my income, am I working on the basis of minimum payment due? Or am I working on the basis of a liberality in my spirit between the Lord and me? It's for, you know, people build all these mountains and hills and things on the tithe, and it's good because there's the doctrine of the tithe. There is a principle of the tithe, which is awesome. And I'm just trying to say to you, actually, when you get beyond that, that's like a first level on the ladder. But if you are talking about you want to walk in this covenant of prosperity, this minimum payment due that sees to it that the devourer is rebuked, that sees to it that they don't keep calling you for the rest of their money, that sees to it that you don't have adversity and all of that, isn't really the best on that ladder. There are higher steps on that ladder. I know that for years I've learned that on my journey. I've learned that the Lord has given me, you know, so many steps to learn that, and he's been really gracious to me to help me grow in that. But I know that one of the times when I learned that, and it became permanently etched in my spirit, in my heart, in my life, was when I learned it. I think it was, I'm not sure if it was 2010 or late 2000s or something. I can't remember the date, the year. But I'd gone for a minister's conference in Dallas, which KCM was hosting. And at the time, we had scraped and scratched everything we had just for me to be able to go on this conference. And, you know, pay for a hotel, got a rental car, and of course had offering for the services, and that was it, pretty much. Money for food, that was it, pretty much. And even the food was not really like main meals. You know how you plan to eat like one meal a day, you kind of shock it. You have apple, you have banana, you have yogurt. And if your hotel serves breakfast, you get those things, you put it in your fridge so that sometime in the afternoon when you come for break, there's lunch, you know, but there's one meal. It's mainly one meal. And that one meal, you have to really plan it and be strategic about it, right? And this was early 2000s or something. I can't remember the year now. But, you know, it took just about everything we had. And on this particular day, this service, because they were back-to-back services. On this particular service, Dr. Bill Winston, Chicago Living Word, was ministering. And as he was ministering, you know, he didn't say anything. He didn't raise an offering. He didn't ask anybody. But suddenly, there was just a move of God in that congregation. These were all pastors, mostly. And this move of God, everybody started, you know, people just started getting up from their seats. This was not tithe. There was no tithe. Nobody was talking about receiving tithe. It's not tithe and offering. They have already received offering for some, you know, usually they have segments where this was just a move of the Lord in the service. And as different people were getting up and going in my spirit. Now, remember, I scraped and scratched everything to get to this conference. And in my wallet was one last $20 bill. It was the last one. I still had a few, couple more days or so to go in Dallas before heading back to Ohio. And as these people started getting up, it came to my spirit. I know it was not the devil who was reminding me. Even though I started out by saying, I rebuke you, Satan, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. And I look back like that, get thee behind me, Satan. But I knew it was not Satan who was reminding me about the $20 bill in my wallet. I knew it was not Satan. I knew the Spirit of God was moving upon me. And I then the struggle began between my head and my heart. And I said, Lord, but that is all that I have left. I'm all the way hundreds of miles away from home. So all I have left in my wallet, Lord, $20. And within my spirit, I didn't hear the Lord. I didn't say, go give it. I didn't know, don't give it. No, I just knew the Lord was working on my heart. You know, many times people say, well, did the Lord tell you? No, Isaiah 32 verse 8 didn't say, the Lord told you every time. No, it just says the liberal person. There's a way that the Lord brings us into a season of our lives, a place in life where we become the liberal soul. Amen. And that's all he's seeking to do. Amen. In this relationship, in this covenant relationship with him, he's seeking to bring us, and don't forgive me for saying the tithe is not the basis of everything. Like I said, it's like minimum payment due. But God is looking to relate with us on the basis of minimum payment. He just wants to know, are you liberal with me? Are you generous with me? You know, sometimes we cut this thing so exact, so clear. You know what? Calculate something. There's even a whole discussion. Is it net or gross income? How do we calculate it? You know, we're missing out on what the covenant really is about. Now, if it helps you and it helps you to get it right so that you are not missing something, you are sure you are not, you know, owing that minimum payment, you work out all the details, fine. But I'm saying at some point in our relation, and that's what this is all about. Remember, I'm talking to you about divine provision. And I'm talking to you about divine provision, not just in good, and forgive me for not screaming and yelling. I don't really have a plan to do that. I just want to teach as I go. Because these are things that we need to, one, embrace. We need to hear them clearly, but we need to have the opportunity to embrace them or reject them. And then we need to start demonstrating them. As I sense that thing going on in my spirit, between my head and my heart in Dallas, suddenly I took a step of faith. A step of faith is when you shut down your mind and you do something that did not make sense. You didn't subject it to the decision of your mind, to the rational thinking of your mind. You just stepped out because you could sense the Spirit's nudge in that direction, and you stepped out regardless, and you got up to take the first step. And so there were people sitting to my right and the people sitting to my left, and initially, part of the excuse I was giving, I said, Lord, you know, even to walk, because you had to walk all the way to the front, all the way around, back, you know. I said, Lord, you know, even if I wanted to give this, there are all these people sitting here, all these people. I said, I don't want to interrupt them. Maybe the Lord is moving in their lives. I don't want to get in the way of what the Lord is trying to tell them. So, I can give it after the service. And, of course, you know, you won't give it after that service. But then suddenly, I got up. I'm talking just $20, folks. It's just $20. I mean, you'd have thought it was the end of this world. $20. It's not 2,000. It's not 20,000. It's not 200,000. It's not $2 million. Amen. Which I'm absolutely certain. In all of these years, I'm certain if you put together the streams in the ministry, the streams in our family, the streams in our lives generally, I'm sure he's well over $2 million. But this was just $20. This was just $20. And I remember I took a step of fear. I just decided, I'm going. And I got up from my seat and I told the couple, it was an older Caucasian couple sitting to my right. Now, if you've heard this story before and I said the older Caucasian couple were sitting to my left, yes, it may very well be one of the other. I just know there was a couple here. I got up and sometimes in sharing some of these stories, it's being vulnerable actually, but don't miss out on the point. Because sometimes people say, yeah, but, and then they miss out on the point. You know, there's only one point that I believe the Lord is having me convey to you with this illustration. So just focus on that. And not on the story. The story itself is true. The fine details of it, you know, I may be staggering one or two of the fine details. I'm talking early 2000s, probably, or maybe, I don't know. And so, I finally got up and walked through, that was probably one of the longest walks in my life, you know, walking through, following everybody as they were going to drop their own, whatever their own seed was. I finally got to the front. I had removed that $20 bill from my wallet and I dropped it in the front. Nobody was taking an offering. There was no tithe. There was no offering. And I walked all the way back to my seat. And sat down. Now, another thing I should mention to you is you have to understand, I know what real poverty is. I mean, I have slept with poverty. I mean, I've drank poverty. I've eaten poverty. I have lived in poverty. I've driven poverty. I know, if I see poverty in the middle of the night and there's no light, I will identify poverty because I know poverty very well. And so, you have to understand that there's a measure of appreciation in my life, there always is, of what the Lord has done for me. Amen. Personally. I'm constantly reminded of the volume of God's grace. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. So that you, in all things, may have all sufficiency, so that you may abound unto every good work. I understand the work of that grace in my life, my journey, my family, our ministry. I totally understand the work of that grace. It was just a few years ago, I couldn't even buy a bottle of Coke for a pregnant wife. A bottle of Coke. Amen. I mean, I totally understand the work of that grace. Remember one time, we were driven out of the hospital, pregnant with our first child, and you know, they eventually walked us out of this hospital. Been there for a few days, and you know, but we couldn't pay. And then they had this, you know, there's this Alhaji who was coming with his wife or somebody who could pay. You know, I mean, these were Muslims. Here was a preacher preaching the word, preaching covenant, preaching prosperity, but he's hoping that his pregnant wife can stay in the hospital, who's very sick, really, really sick. Can stay in that hospital for free, at least until he can get some money somewhere. And finally, they kind of put up with that plan until there was no other bed in the hospital. They say, you know what, sorry, we need this bed. And there's a patient who's coming in. And I'm talking, this is a rich, Alhajis were Muslims, wealthy Muslims, right? And so they walked us out of the hospital. But even the money to get us home, I didn't have. So I remember, I told my wife, just stay there. I kept her somewhere. Sit down there in front of the hospital. Stay there. And I walked, because there was this to the main street. I had to walk. And while I was walking, a lot of thoughts were going through my mind. How do I get us home? I tell you, the Lord can speak to you. The Lord can speak to you if your spirit is open. And somewhere between the 5-minute walk of leaving the hospital to the main street where I was going, I tell you, I don't know if it's the Lord who spoke or my mind who spoke, but somehow I knew how to get us home. It suddenly dawned on me, I'm just gonna get in this cab, money or no money, and then when we get home, we'll sort out the rest of the details. And so I called this cab and said, oh, you know, my wife is in front of it. Can you get her? I said, where are you? We live in Marafa Estate. Oh, I said, oh, okay, fine. He told me how much. I said, okay, fine. So he took me back. We went, we picked Pastor Tinum. She got in the car. We all got, and we drove home. And finally, when we got home, and I made sure she had gotten out of the car and she had gone into the house, she was free and clear. I said to the taxi cab driver, I said, you know what? I'm so sorry, but I don't have a dime. I can't pay you. I don't have a dime. I said, but listen, I'm a pastor. I said, I have this wristwatch. I said, I can give you this wristwatch. If you bring this wristwatch back on Monday, this was probably a Thursday or something. If you bring this wristwatch back on Monday, I'll pay you. And he was so mad to start with, but you know, Holy Spirit helped me. Finally, he said, okay. He said, no, I don't need your wristwatch. He said, I'll come back Monday. He did come back on Monday. And praise God, Monday when he came back, I had the money to pay him. So, I mean, I know the grace of God. But even as much as I knew, giving up my last $20 was quite a trip. Giving up my last $20 in Dallas was quite a trip. And I'm not new. I know the grace of God. I'm familiar with the working of the grace of God. So I'm just telling you that what the Lord is endeavoring to do with us is to take us from wherever we are into our next level, into our next level, into our next level. There's so many believers that are so shut out from the abundance that the Lord wants to give them because they're so limited. They're so limited. And the Lord wants to help us break those limits. The Lord wants to help us get out of those traps. Amen. Amen. And so in Dallas, I walked back. I didn't forget Dallas. I dropped the $20 bill, walked all the way back and found my way back. And sat down, and I believe to my left was this older Caucasian couple, because they were. And as soon as I sat down, the wife was probably the one next to me, the husband was on the other side, I think. And the wife took my hand and squeezed a piece of paper into my hand. Remember, I gave my last $20. She squeezed this piece of paper into my hand. Well, as soon as I touched it, I knew this was, it felt like money. You know, you can't touch money and not know this is money. Especially when you are broke, you know. You already gave up your last $20. So I knew this is money. I just didn't know how much money it was. So I took it, and just because I didn't want to be distracted, I was very excited, but I didn't want to, I just squeezed it right into my jacket, my blazer pocket or something. And of course, the rest of the service went on. Of course, you can be sure I was hearing half of the message, and the other half, I was thinking about that thing that I put in my pocket. And forgive me for taking so much time to do this, but you know, like I said, I'm not really rushed about it. I've prayed and I've asked that the Holy Spirit will help me speak. And this, you know, I have so much material. But this is not really about the material. This is about transmitting what is in the heart of God over this matter. And I know this is something that the Lord cares a lot about. I want to share that with you as much as I can. So, as soon as the service finished, I did not say yay or nay to anybody, no greeting, nothing. Made my way to the parking lot where I had this rental car parked. Got myself into the rental car, looked everywhere, make sure I locked everything, looked everywhere, make sure nobody was looking at me. And then quietly, you know how you are expecting a surprise, you just don't know how to. So I quietly slipped my hand into that thing and brought out that note, and I opened my eyes, and lo and behold, it was $100 bill. Man, was $100 bill that day felt like $10 million. $100 bill that day felt like $10 million. So, think about this. The Lord didn't say to me, give a tithe of your $20. He didn't say that. Did he? No, he did not. And he didn't say, give your $20 either. I mean, in my heart, I may have translated it to mean he was saying, give your $20, but God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need anything. The Bible says the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. God owns everything. He owns everything. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Lord is always endeavoring to share with us what he has. He's never looking for a way to take away from us. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, so I said to you earlier, so this covenant of provision, that's one. And then I talked about the two most important prerequisites of this covenant. And then how God blesses us is the third one. Now, I did say that there were this a couple of scriptures, and this is the first one that the Lord dealt with me so strongly about very early in the year. And it was so strong that I put it in this vision book. By the way, what's it called? It's not sales because we never sell them. They are free. But let me just talk about it. What's it called? Promotion. Thank you. I miss you guys on Wednesdays, you know. Some of my Wednesday services, you know, I'm looking for that English word and I just can't remember what it is. And I say, what is that word? And I look around, there's no, I don't have my Webster's, I don't have my thesaurus, you know, so. Promotion, this is called promotion. By the way, we do have these books now, e-book format, e-book. So you have them on Amazon, that's Kindle. You have them on Apple iBooks. You have them on Nook, Barnes & Nobles. And they are free downloads wherever you are in the world. Wherever you are in the world, you can get them. Get them now. Some of you have read it before, but I'm encouraging you go back and read it again. Because I think that there's a lot of things in there that's a blessing. Now, okay, look at my scripture here, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And look at verse 23. Psalm 37. And look at verse 23. I hope you are receiving something. Yeah. At home, I hope you are receiving something. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. I like that one. You know, God isn't dealing with us on the basis of minimum payment due. I like that. If you got nothing else from this service, get that one. Write it down somewhere. Keep it in your heart. God isn't dealing with us. He's not looking to deal with us on the basis of minimum payment due. God wants to bring us to a place of liberality, a place of generosity, a place where, you know, we're not even bothered so much about ourselves. We're just constantly looking for ways to be a blessing to others. Amen? Amen. Psalm 37 and verse 23. Look at what it says. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Amplified says, the steps of a good man are directed, there's a little hum in this mic, are directed and established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Then he says in verse 24, even though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. And then he said in verse 25, I have been young. And now I am old. Now, this Psalm 37 is another Psalm of David, like Psalm 23. What did I tell you the Psalms represent sometimes? Testimony. Say that word with me. Testimony. David said, I have been young. And now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, look at look at the three verses. The first one, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. They are directed by the Lord. They are directed and established, the Amplified says. The steps of a good man are directed and established. The steps of a good man are directed and established. When the Lord directs your steps, he establishes them. If the Lord does not direct your step is never established. The Lord directs them and he establishes them. He directs them and he establishes them. So that means the Lord will direct us. He will show us steps we need to take on our journey. Then he will establish those steps and cause them to prosper. He will establish those steps and cause them to prosper. Verse 24, even though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his right hand. The Lord, I love the way the Amplified puts it. He says that for the Lord grasps his hand in support and upholds him. That means even though we are led on our journey, we will not have a perfect journey. And we will make mistakes sometimes. There will be trip up sometimes. There may be some setbacks, some slips, and things like that. He said, but the Lord will uphold us and he will carry us to our destination. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And then in verse 25, he said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. That means we will need all sorts of resources for our journey. And where the Lord guides, he will also provide. Where the Lord guides, he will also provide. All right, so I was saying to you earlier in the book Vision 2020, this is page 38. I actually quote this scripture right here. Like I said earlier, you have them in categories. You have them in levels where when you wait on the Lord or when you have a time of encounter with God, he deals with you with different things. And some of them are really, you know, that those are like the most, what's that word? Is it poignant? Is that the way that word is called? Is that the right pronunciation? Thank you, Webster's. you have the ones that are most poignant, right? And then in degrees, you have the next ones, and you have the ones that, like, you know, the Lord, it was just a rhema word that just exploded. This one was one of the rhema words that just exploded in my spirit at the beginning of the year. And so, in page 38 in the Vision book, I have it here. Now, I quote the scripture, but then I also write this. I want you to listen to this now. Listen to this. The Lord has promised to direct and establish our steps if we walk with him. He will show us where we need to go as well as how to get there. And because we are not perfect, and we live in, at this page 39 now, because we are not perfect and we live in an imperfect world, God knows we will make mistakes. There will be trip-ups and setbacks sometimes. See, the entire world is actually experiencing a setback right now. And if you are a part of this world, all of us are going through this setback right now. But the Lord, this God, long before we came into 2020, he already saw these setbacks ahead of us. He saw this trip up or whatever this is ahead of us. There will be trip ups, slips, and setbacks sometimes. Listen. But even when that happens, God promises to uphold us and carry us through until we arrive at our destination. Hallelujah! He promises to uphold us and carry us through until we arrive at our destination. Listen to the next paragraph. David, in writing the above psalm, had learned from his own experience that in addition to having a vision, we will need to receive clear directions, take certain actionable steps, deal with situations that will arise on our journey that may be out of our control, and finally, he knew we would require provision of resources for our needs on the journey. He knew we would. He knew we would deal with situations sometimes that are outside of our control. He knew some things would present themselves that look like setbacks. And the last paragraph, where God guides, he provides. And everything we need for success on our journey has already been provided by our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Everything we need. I came into this service earlier thinking that I would get to talk to you about El Shaddai. That's really what was supposed to be the focus of my message to you today. All these stories I was telling you, none of them was planned, though. I didn't plan any of those stories, so forgive me. that was rabbit's trail. But somebody probably needed to hear that. This thing about minimum payment due, I didn't plan that. But somebody needed to hear that. I did plan to read this vision book to you, though, because when I saw it in there, it lined up exactly with part of what I wanted to share with you from Psalm 37. I want you to know, keep in mind, I'm going to close here. Praise God. We have more opportunities to come around the Word of God. This is not our last one. Hallelujah. I want to close. I just want to remind you, on this journey, we're going to cultivate relationship with this covenant-keeping God. Remember, we're going to keep walking. We're going to keep walking. And as we keep walking, things will happen. Things will happen. Things will happen. I won't read any other scripture. I'll leave you with this statement that I wrote in my Bible. This is so for you, it is so for me. And I found this to be so. I wrote it here, obviously one of the scriptures eventually that I'm going to come and minister to you about as I talk to you about divine provision is in 1 Kings chapter 19. But I want to read something to you that I wrote there in my Bible, right there on that page in my Bible. It is so for you as it is for me. For every one of our lives, you would never be able to look back if you keep walking with the Lord. The Psalms are testimonies, and David shared a lot of his, right? At some point on your journey, you will be able to share some of your testimonies. And when you look back, you would never, ever be able to say one thing or the other, one person or the other was responsible for carrying you to your destination. You would never be able to say that. See, because the one who saw to it is the covenant-keeping God. He's the source of all good things. He's the source of all blessings. Now, he would use people. Sometimes he will use things. I wrote this down because I just looked at the life of this prophet. God used the raven sometimes. He used the brook sometimes. But those dried up, and then he used the widow of Zarephath for a season. But you know, even after the widow of Zarephath, he used the angels to bring him food. I mean, this man would never be able to look back and say, oh, the ravens were entirely. No, it was not the ravens. The brook was. No, it was not the brooks. Yeah, they played a role, praise God. Oh, the widow of Zarephath. No, it was not the widow of Zarephath. She played a role, praise God. Oh, the angel. No, it was not. It was Jehovah Jireh. El Shaddai himself is the source of all good things. He's the source of our provision. He's our good shepherd. He's our provider. He's our provider. He's our provider. He's our provider on every step of our journey. He has everything we need. He has everything we need. Hallelujah. He has everything we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think in just looking over my own journey and so many ways in which the Lord has helped me, so many people the Lord has put on my path who have helped me, so many to recount. And I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful for so many. Sometimes it didn't take a human being. Sometimes it took a situation turning just like that in the spur of a moment. And that's how the Lord got us through. Sometimes it took, you know, and it didn't matter what was going on, recession or no recession or whatever. Sometimes we were in recession when everybody was prospering, we were in recession. I mean, how much more do you want me to tell you? Hallelujah. But the Bible says he will keep the righteous even in a time of famine. They will not be ashamed. They will be satisfied, he says. They will be satisfied. It's the Lord who does it all. So let me close here by reading this. I wrote this in my Bible, right there on the page of my Bible, 1 Kings 17 it is. Don't believe it. If anyone ever tells you they were responsible for the provision and the sustenance of your life, your ministry, or your family, don't you ever believe it. Long before Prophet Elijah arrived at the widow of Zarephath, God fed him through the ravens and sustained him by the brooks. And long after he left the widow's house, God continued to feed him and God continued to sustain him by sending him angel food. God and God alone is the source. He is El Shaddai. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you ever believe it. Some people, some silly, foolish people on top people, I'm a self-made man. There is no self-made man, folks. There is no self-made man. Some people say, it was that. There is no job that can make you. It's all El Shaddai. It is El Shaddai. It is El Shaddai. He is the source. He is the source. There's no relationship that can make you. All of these things we should honor. We should be thankful. All these channels, we should be thankful. But I think, I really do think that maybe you know the English word I'm thinking of when I say this, but one of the whatever about this, the story of Elijah is that he used the ravens to feed him, and they were probably different ravens on different days. How do you thank those ravens? What's the word I'm looking for? One of the, Pertinent! Webster's! Webster's! Let's change his name from today. His brother Webster. His minister Webster. Hallelujah. One of the most pertinent things. Let's close here. Glory to God. The Lord's really helped us today. The Lord has really helped us today. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. One of the most pertinent things about the story of Elijah and the way the Lord helped him. Like David said in the Psalms, the Lord directs, right? He directs, he establishes. And then because it's not a perfect journey, there will be setbacks, there will be slip-ups, there will be trip-ups. There will be things that are outside of your control. But even in spite of all of that, the Lord is committed to carrying you through, right? And then, I've been young, and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. Wherever the Lord guides, He will provide. Think about it for a minute. When the brook dried up, it was not within the control of Elijah. He didn't get a notice the brook would dry up. He didn't get, no, nobody, even the ravens. Can you imagine the raven who brought him food on Thursday night? Didn't tell him, this is the last meal I'm bringing you. No. Did not tell him, this is your last meal from me. Didn't tell him. And suddenly on Friday morning, Elijah is looking at the skies. No raven. These ravens. Clockwork. If you know God is an excellent God, He doesn't do things haphazard. So I guarantee you, if they came by 9 a.m., 9 a.m. to the dot every morning they came. 9 a.m. to the dot. Suddenly on Friday morning, Elijah look everywhere. No raven. He said, well, maybe the raven didn't, maybe it came while I was sleeping. He went and looked everywhere, no food, no fish sandwich. Okay, maybe there are clouds in the sky, something delayed the raven today. He waited 12 noon, no raven. 1 p.m., no raven. And then suddenly, the Lord said to him, Elijah, I spoke to a widow in Zarephath. I've commanded her to take care of you. In Zarephath. Yes, Zarephath. In spite of all of those different aspects of his journey, the Lord always had a provision. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. El Shaddai. When I think about him, I get beside myself. I get overwhelmed in my heart. When I think about what he has done for me, somebody wrote several years ago, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done, he wrote a song. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my very soul shall shout hallelujah, because I don't know how to contain myself. I don't know how to talk about it. He has been too good. He has been too faithful. Hallelujah. He has been my rock. He has been my brook. He has been my raven. He has been my angel. He has been my everything. That is El Shaddai. It's him and it's him alone. He has been our help. He has been our strength. He has been our good shepherd. He has been our provider. He has been our helper. When you think about that, when you think about that, you just don't know how to express how thankful you are. How thankful you are. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Would you stand up? Just stand up wherever you are at home. Stand up around your TV, around your phone, around your computer. Stand up and just, I want you to raise your hands up to him. He's Jehovah. He's Yahweh, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty One, the Strong One, the Multi-Breasted One, the God of all supplies. That's His name. And when we think of Him, and when we think of what He has done, how He has carried us through every season of life, every way He has made provision, how He has showed up in the midnight hour when we were about to quit, when we were about to give up, how He showed up, how He spoke up, how He declared the way that He has made. You will get beside yourself. You will get beside yourself. How good the Lord has been. How good El Shaddai has been. He is a provider. He is the provider. He is the source. He is the source. He is a good God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just wave your hands to Him. Help me praise Him. Help me praise Him today. Help me praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for being the source. No one else could have done it. Only you could have. Only you could have, Lord. Only you could have. You are the amazing God. You are the worthy God. You are the one who's worthy of being trusted. You are the one who's faithful. You have never failed. You have never quit on us. You have never lost in the area of your promise. You have never reneged on the things and the words that you spoke. You've never given up your hold and your grasp on us. We thank you, Jehovah. We thank you, Jehovah. We thank you, El Shaddai. We thank you, El Shaddai. I'm sorry, you have to forgive me. But I don't feel His presence here. I feel His presence. He wants more praise. He wants more recognition. He wants more acknowledgement. I don't know what the Lord has done for you. Wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice today, I want you to lift up your voice and I want you to acknowledge El Shaddai. I want you to recognize El Shaddai, how good He has been, how faithful He has been, how precious He has been. He has never let you suffer. He has never let you suffer need or suffer lack. He has never not showed up. He has never not been true to His word. He has never not come through for you. He has never losing His grip on your life. He has never losing His hold on your life. His heir shall die. His heir shall die. Jehovah is His name. Jehovah is His name. Jehovah, I want you to help me praise Him some more. I'm not quite ready to close yet. Wherever you are in your home, just help me praise Him some more. Just wave your hands and bless Him and worship Him and tell Him thank you.